Welcome once again. The thing about this morning, and we've had an encounter with God. If your heart is open, you've already met with Him. We've talked about vision and reaching beyond ourselves and helping people across the globe. And now we want to prepare to focus on the Word of God. All right, because this Word, this is our foundation, right? And the better you know this, the better equipped you are to go forward in life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Even if you don't believe, even if you're not doing it, you still believe it, right? So God wants to challenge us. He's challenging us to be people who are willing to go deeper. I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 6. And I want to welcome you also to the final week of our Sunday school series, where we've taken a fresh look at Bible stories. Many of them you have heard if you were raised in a church. You heard them in Sunday school years and years ago. So we've taken that type of a format as this past summer. And so what we found, though, is all of these Bible stories, they all are still so relevant today, whether it be Noah and the Ark, or Daniel in the lion's den, or Esther, or David and Goliath. Every one of them still holds relevance today. And I recall, again, as a kid, hearing some of these stories, and they were inspiring. They were inspiring. I mean, David and Goliath is an inspiring story, right? And I want to be part of a story like that. I do. I think all of us down inside would like to be part of a story. Now, when you really think about it, it kind of scares you, and you say, well, maybe I really don't want that. But no, you do. You do. I know myself growing up, sports, athletics, that was God to me. I mean, that's what I lived to do. But I'll tell you what, when in my desire, my heart, my love, my passion of athletics, it was to win. It was to win. And not just be part of the team. I wanted to be the guy who scored the touchdown. I wanted to be the guy who hit the home run. Right? I wanted to be the guy who won the tournament. That's what I wanted. Right? Did any of you play sports and saying, yeah, I just want to ride the bench? No. No. We want to be people who win. And that was my desire. I want to be a bigger part of the story. I want to be a bigger part. And as I see read these stories once again, it reminds me of that everyone we're reading about here was just someone like you and I. I mean, Esther was basically an orphan being forced to live in a foreign land. And look what God did with her. David was a kid tending sheep. And look what God did with him. Noah's like, why me? Right? See, but God does that. That's what He does. He uses people who are willing. We're willing to be used in a mighty way. I want to be used in a mighty way in the kingdom. That is absolutely my desire. That's something that Dawn and I we've tried to model our lives that way. You know, yes, I'm a son of God. Yes, I'm working hard to be the best husband I can be, the best grandfather I can be. But listen, I want more than that. I do want to lay hands on people and see them healed. I mean, through my years, I've seen a couple dramatic things happen. I want to see more. I do want to be part of planting churches, more churches. I want to be part of that. We do want to give sacrificially to see the kingdom of God go forward. We want to go overseas and help those that are hurting. We want to be a bigger part of the story. We want to be used in mighty ways by God. And today we're going to look at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the role of the disciples in it. Because we want to be people. I pray that you want to be one who wants to do mighty things for God. That you're not just here to have a better lifestyle than you used to have. That you're not just here today because I've found a set of principles that work. But living for something bigger. Living for something bigger in our lives. Because here's the rub. It will not just happen. Just because you say you love Jesus and you said a sinner's prayer, and even if you go to connection group, that's not enough. Right? Those are all things that should be happening to put you in that proper position, but it doesn't just happen. You've got to want it. You have to want to be used of God in a mighty way. Is anybody in that place today? I want to be used by God. I want to be used in greater ways. I want to be pushed. And I love to push you, by the way. But the point is, okay, so you have to want it, and you have to be willing to prepare for it. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be prepared for it. So what we want to see here, our purpose today on that second slide there, Josh, is every disciple can be used mightily by God by following these three principles. This is what we're going to cover. Recognize your greatest ability is your availability. God blesses and multiplies what is given back to him, and generously distribute what God has given to you. These are the principles we walk in, it's going to put you in position to be used in mighty ways. Mighty ways, not just standard, not just average, but mighty ways in God's hands. Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Spirit. God, that you have more for us than we can ask or think. Father, help us. Help us see, Lord, how what you see as potential inside of us. Open us up, God, to believe. God, that if we prepare, if we put ourselves in this position, if we believe, you will do more for us than we could ever imagine. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 6. And what's unique about this feeding of the 5,000 is it's the only miracle that's cited in all four Gospels, you know, other than the resurrection, as we see here. But it's cited in all four make mention of it. Now, again, just by thinking about the repetition of it, there must be significance here. There's things God wants to speak to us in something that was repetitive. Now, again, for those that you're new to this, new in pursuing God, you may look at these stories and say, but the details don't always match up exactly the same. But you have to realize, remember, the Bible was not written as a textbook. Okay, it was written as just letters describing the hope that people found in God. It's written from four different perspectives, four different authors, four points of view, pulling out things that meant something to them. All right. So again, so the details may not match up exact. All right, but recognize that. I'm thankful we have four different points of view. All right, because it also tells me there were four eyewitnesses. Okay, because one of the things that builds my faith more than anything else in the New Testament is eyewitnesses. There's eyewitness, people attesting that these things happen. And when you really think it through, that it's what speaks to you too, right? It's eyewitnesses. So I appreciate that we have four different accounts speaking of these miraculous things. All right, so as we get into the text here, we get into the text in Mark chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in the 30th verse. And what has just happened earlier in the chapter is Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples in groups of two. And he sent them out to proclaim the good news of God, to set the captive free. And he gave them power. He endued them with power by the Holy Spirit that they could heal the sick and cast out demons. That he did that. Because up to this point, they were with him and assisting him. Now, they actually went to do it. There's so much that could be said about that. And we pick it up there in verse 30. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour. Love that wording. And told him all that they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Now, before we go any further, just on this first principle of your greatest ability is your availability, I want to bring up two things out of this verse. All right, first, if you're going to be used mightily of God, you've got to be about the Father's business. You've got to be about his business. You know, God, in the future, Jesus had a plan for these guys, and that was that they were literally going to turn the world upside down after Jesus died and ascended into heaven. There were big plans ahead for them, all right? But for them to be prepared for the mighty work, they had to be faithful in the work today. The disciples were being faithful in the work. They were engaged. They had just returned from this first missionary journey. They took great risks in going. Can you imagine the first time they went to pray for someone to be delivered from demonic activity? Or they first went to pray for someone without Jesus looking over their shoulder for healing. Like this was a big deal. It's a big deal. But they're willing. See, they made themselves available, but they were doing the work. They weren't just looking to be status quo. They were doing the work. They were doing what he said, taking risks, facing fear. They didn't just listen to the teachings. They were obeying the teachings. They were looking to say, man, I want to engage. I'm going to do what he says. It wasn't, they were not just about living a better moral life. They weren't just about getting to heaven. It was saying, no, I want more. I want to be used in a greater way. And they made themselves available to do that. I mean, and I think, again, there's a challenge for us is, am I engaging on a daily basis? I mean, do you realize, do you remember that God has put before you a mission every single day? A mission to represent him, a mission to let people know who he is. Are we aware? Are we active in the mission that he's given us today? Like, are we, again, because if we're not active in this, if we're not active doing this, how do we expect him to use us in greater ways? Right? Again, I got to be engaged in the Father's work. I've got to be willing to go. Okay, so that's what we got to catch. Second thing we can catch out of this text about availability is the need to rest. The need to rest. Let's get off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. They've just returned. Sounds like they hadn't had time to debrief. Jesus is saying, we need to get away. Scripture is so clear of a need to rest in God. Get away with Jesus. He didn't just send them away by themselves. He said, no, come away with me. There's a need to get away. Jesus modeled this of getting away. You know, your body gets worn out, doesn't it? Right? Okay, some of you, it's like it's Sunday at 11 and you're already worn out and you're thinking, what's up, right? Wait till Wednesday. Okay, so again, we wear out. There is a need for us to rest. There's a need for us to rest and recharge. When you're doing God's work, there is a need to recharge. Yeah, because what happens when you get tired? Well, I'm not as effective as I would be, right? I don't have the energy. Quite often in working in God, when I get tired, I start thinking it depends on me. It depends on me. I have to get this done. And I'm carrying the weight and not trusting God. Right? So again, there's negative things that happen when we're not resting. Jesus said, let's get away. The word rest here in the Greek means to cease from toil. Cease from toil. Refreshment. Refresh. You used to be fresh. You're not fresh anymore. There's a need to find refreshment. Another definition is intermission. Intermission. There's a need in the intermission of a halftime of a football game. Right? There's a need. I need to get up. I need to stretch. I need to get away from this. Why? Because the game's not over yet. The game's not over. So there has to be a time of refreshment in your soul. So you got to, if you're going to, again, what's availability mean? You got to be available. You got to be available. You got to be in the work. And two, you got to be available to spend time with God. And we struggle. We struggle with both of those. We struggle with both of those. Of course, some of us struggle with just one. We're either so busy with God, we don't take time to rest, or we're so busy resting, we don't have time for God, right? Again, it cuts both ways. It cuts both ways. But see, but again, I got to be available for God. Make yourself available. Okay, let's get back into the text here. Verse 34. Okay, it says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. Okay, because he just got back. Remember, he just got back from the shore. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Okay, this was a huge crowd. Huge crowd. You can see the definition out of the Strong's. Multitudinous. I didn't know that was a word. Okay, plenteous. Okay, but there was a lot of people. There were so many people there, right? There was this huge crowd. And Jesus, again, just came back from a short time of rest. It's right back into the work. It's right back into the mission that God gave for him, right? He saw the people. He didn't put them off. He was not put off by the people. How many of us, when you're tired and you get hit with a multitudinous amount of people, right? It wears you out before you even get out of the boat. Some of you introverts would be like, I'm not getting out of the boat. We're going to find another harbor, right? Again, but there's this desire. I have to be about the Father's business. There's a focus here. There's a focus. There's this large amount of people. It says Jesus was moved with compassion. Not obligation, compassion. Say that again. He was not moved by obligation. He was moved by compassion. Compassion. Our Father is moved by compassion for his own. I mean, he felt it deep inside. Remember, he's the one that saw the lost and hurting people like a sheep without a shepherd. A wandering sheep. You know, prone to self-destruction, right? Not having a shepherd. So he was moved. He saw these people. He said, and he's, And he knows some of the people are there for the wrong motives, right? But you know, he's moved. He's moved with compassion. That's what that defines him here. And honestly, I want that to be my model. Again, I don't come here on Sundays. I don't come up here to try to make you smarter. All right, that's really not. That's too hard to do. Okay, how's that? Now, what I want to do is have a heart. My heart is to see you grow. My heart is to see you reach further than you ever have before. Right? Honestly, listen, that's why it is true. My role is to put Doug in uncomfortable positions. Okay? And Joel. I want to put you in an uncomfortable position. Why? Because that is how you grow. That is compassionate. Right? You're not all agreeing. Okay? It's compassion to me to make you uncomfortable. All right, now, you see, but that's the thing is, I'm going to be moved. I'm moved to see you, see who God is. I want to be moved. Jesus was moved because I want to see them attain the truth of who Jesus Christ is. All right? That's the heart of our God. Man, we want to see people go forward here. See people go forward. So God, again, your greatest ability is being available, though, for God to use you. Obviously, in that ability, you got to be filled with compassion. Let's go on, Mark 6:35. Next slide. Late in the afternoon, after Jesus had been teaching many things, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." Now, first, catch two. These are disciples, right? Disciples. These are followers, not just listeners. They're followers. They've been available. They've made themselves available. And I want you to catch this. Because they made themselves available, they're here for this lesson. Most everybody in the room knows how this story turns out. See, but the disciples would not be in this place to be used in a mighty way if they were not available before. Okay, there's this availability thing here. So these disciples, they've been following, okay? And what's interesting here is you look at this, the disciples and Jesus looked at the problem in a whole different way, okay? The disciples looked at it and said, "This is a problem, send them away." Jesus said, "You have the answer." All right, wow, right? They're looking at this in a total different way. What I really catch out of this, if you look at it though, is where they say, they come to Jesus, say, "This is a remote place. Send the crowds away." How often have you and I missed something big God could do because we basically told God, "Send them away"? We send away. We couldn't see it. We couldn't see. I can't see that. No, God can't do that. God can't do that. I can't go on a mission trip. Not me. I can't do that. I can't knock on someone's door. You're telling God no, right? Here, again, Jesus had an answer. What I want to encourage you is this. Quit saying no for Jesus. Allow Jesus to speak to your heart. Allow him to speak. Allow him to speak life. Because when he speaks, there's going to be great things that happen. That's the thing. See, at times we're afraid what Jesus will say. Well, now, you know what? At times I'm afraid what Jesus will say. I am. That's honest. But I want to take that step because that's where life is. That's where it's going to be released. This is where it's going to be released. Okay, let's go on. Looking back at that same verse, 35 and 37. Okay, Jesus, again, he had a solution. He said, "I want you to feed them. I want you to feed them." See, this was not a problem for him. This whole thing was not a problem for Jesus. Okay, there's no, it appears in the gospel writings, Jesus was inviting his disciples, listen, to live one level beyond what they could see. He wants to say, "Look, no, guys, look. You've seen some other great miracles. You can feed them. You can be part of this. You can be part." And that's what the environment we want here in the Bridge City family. We want to see you take one step further than you ever have before. One step of faith greater than you ever have before. Take that one step. Take that one step. Talk to that neighbor. Maybe it's that family member. Maybe it's being part of just a serving team. But take a step. Move beyond where you've been. Because, man, be willing to be in that uncomfortable place. See, because there's nothing too incredible, too amazing that God can't do. And that's what he was showing the disciples because they were available in this moment in time. Okay. And think about it too. He uses impatient, impulsive people. Right? The disciples were that way. Okay? And some of you are really impatient and impulsive. Okay? God says, I can use that. I can use that. Be willing. And I was, as you contemplate this too, I'm thinking, why was it so hard for the disciples to believe this with the other miracles they've seen? I mean, a response could be by their lack. There's no way we have enough. It'd be like 200 days wages to be able to feed this amount of people if there was that much food even in the region to be had. You know, and again, so it could just be, I can't see beyond my lack. Or maybe it just seemed too extravagant. It seemed too much an extravagant thing. Like, we can't. It just, no. God, listen, it's not too big. It's not too big for God. The people are not too many. I don't care how big the need appears to be. You know, and here's the thing, too. So we can't be led by our feelings. You're not going to stand before God someday and be able to tell him, but God, when it came to that thing of reaching out to the people down the street, God, I just didn't feel it was the right thing to do. Okay, feeling is that's not going to stand. He wants people that respond in obedience, make themselves available for God to do miraculous things. Your feelings are not going to, I wonder what will his facial expression be when we give those types of excuses. All right, that's something, that's late night conversation. Okay, so we want to be people who make ourselves available. And, you know, I can share too that as far as our church family, it's been our DNA from the very beginning. From the very beginning of the church, it's been in our DNA that we want to be available. If you're not available, I don't care how gifted you are. It doesn't make any difference. You know, the Pastor Keith, whose voice you heard on the video, who now heads the Network of Related Pastors. You know, he was the pastor, and the first four elders of the church all went into full-time ministry. None of us were seminary trained. None. One became a full-time missionary. He's still in China. One brother took over Bridge City back in 1989. I was sent out. Dawn and I were sent out. Another guy took over a church in Canonsburg. I'm telling you, that three of us definitely would never have been in ministry if we weren't just following these principles of make yourself available, listen, be in the environment, allow God to stretch you. Just putting ourselves in that environment, allow God to do great things. And we've seen amazing things that we wouldn't be in this room today if we didn't do those things way back when. Make yourself available if you want to see God do things in your life or through your life. I guarantee you, you have more in you than you realize. God will use what you have. Okay, which leads us to our second principle. Jesus multiplies what's given back to him. Verse 38. He said, how much bread do you have? He asked. Go and find out. They came back and reported 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Real quick, obviously most of you remember there was a boy who had that. Mark doesn't mention that, so I'm just not getting into that. That's mentioned from the other points of view. Okay, so they came back and said, this is what we have. Here's the point. Jesus starts with what you have. He starts with what you have. Do you think it really mattered how much they had? Would it have mattered if it was 5 fish and 2 loaves? Would it matter if it was 10 loaves? They could have had 1,000 loaves. It wouldn't have been enough. That didn't matter. That wasn't the point. God is able. Can you hear that? God is able. Because there's some of you today, you're in great financial mess. You're in a mess. Right? Listen, as you follow him, as you trust him and trust his word and do what he says, give to him, give liberally to him. Listen, he will meet you where you are. He will meet you, right? Man, because again, God's not limited. He's not limited by numbers. He's not intimidated at all. Not intimidated. Isn't that good news? Man, we don't have to worry. Just saying, look, but trust me, trust. Walk in obedience. God's not ruled by what we don't have. He's not ruled by what you don't have. He's ruled by what you have. You have gifts. You have ability. You have time. You have time. Put yourself in a place to be used by God. Man. You know, it's like so often, yeah, I feel like we're crying out, God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom on what to do. And I feel like God's saying, look, the problem is you're trying to do it on your own. You know, you need rest, you need to slow down, get into that place with me, and allow me to remind you who I am, right? And that you could hear his voice once again. Okay, but again, so we take it back. God, I give this problem to you. I give this to you. Our memory verse for today is in Sunday school was Ephesians 3:20. Just bring this up here. And again, it's a great one. It fits for this. And all glory to God, who's able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. God can do more than you realize for everybody in this room. Everybody in this room. He can do more. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's not necessarily talking that you're going to have a bigger house, right? Or a faster car, right? That's not the point. No, he's saying, I can do more with you if you make yourself available. And if you give me what you have, give me the time you have. Give me the time that you have. Okay, and it says here then, of course, it says that he told them to sit down in groups of 50 or 100. He got them into groups. Okay, God's about groups. We do better in small groups. And I do want to remind you, too, about connection groups coming up starting the week of September 11th. September 11th, connection groups are going to start. You heard Rachel speaking about that. We have various groups going to be meeting in various days, in various places. Why? Because when we come together like that, there is a synergy in the spirit that you need and I need. And as Sam aptly said, you may think you don't need it, but if you don't need it, you need to be there for someone else who needs you. This is how the kingdom of God works. It's making yourself available, putting yourself in position for God to move through you and for you. Right? But we put ourselves in that position. That's what this is about. It's pushing you. Yes, it's pushing you into a place where you can meet God and find mutual encouragement. Right? Let's go on here. The point is, I want you to catch Jesus multiplies. Verse 41. Jesus took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. Okay. I just found it interesting. You know, he looks to heaven. It's God that does the blessing. You know, God, this is yours. Do what you need to do. God, I'm going to look to you. See, What we do forget so often, and man, it's our humanness. We fight this all the time. I fight it. Is that we think that we have accomplished things. Everything I have is from God. You were born in the United States. You know how blessed you are. And we were just watching a first world nation in the Ukraine and what they're going through. Right? You know how blessed we are being here. You know how blessed you are that you had ancestors wind up on these shores. We're so blessed. I got to remember that. I want to bless God and remember how I have been provided for. We are so blessed in this nation because work of our own, just because we're here, just because we've been put in this place, and we forget that God is in control of everything. Your very breath is a gift from God. Your very breath. It's a gift. We don't deserve this. None of us are good. I mean, God help us if any of us were the judge of us, right? Because we'd all judged each other way before now. Okay, but man, he is a gift. He's a good God who blesses. Man, today we just have to watch because we are so self-sufficient that we think we did it. We did it. And I want to encourage you, don't miss the moments during the day. Create the disciplines during the day that you remember who God is. You know, one of the things that the nation of Islam does, that Muslims do, is 3 times a day they pray towards Mecca, right? And we say, well, man, well, that's not the right God. But there is a discipline there. There is a principle that Christians can learn from, right? You know, one of the things, again, What's your time? In the morning? In the evening? One of the things that surprises me is how few Christians pray before a meal now. And again, I'm not getting legalistic, but I'm just saying there are times that you get in your mind that are good disciplines that you remember that you have a provider who takes care of you. When are those times? Is it going to work every morning that, man, I'm putting on worship music and I am remembering? Is it the way home from work? Is it your lunch hour? What? Put those disciplines in your life that you can remember he's the provider. Again, no extra charge, pastoral moment. Tag it, all right? Every disciple can be used mightily by God if we follow these principles. Third one, Mark 6:42. You'll see God do mighty things if you generously distribute what God gives back to you. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed, more than likely a minimum of 15,000 people were fed in this moment in time. And they have all these leftovers. And I was thinking, I would imagine if Jesus made fish, it was really good. They're good leftovers, right? Again, but this was all leftovers. See, point of what you catch is God's extravagant. Extravagantly good. You have an extravagantly good God. Quit worrying about what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drive. Stop worrying about those things. We serve an extravagant God. Okay, make yourself available. Give. He uses what you give to him. Your time, your talent, your treasure. All right, and then give generously on after you have received. Man, here's the thing. I just like this next slide. Throw that next slide up. This just really strikes me. So Jesus took his disciples from being consumers to contributors to distributors. Okay. And I let that roll in. That's a good one to take a picture of. Because you can ask yourself, at this moment in your life, which are you? Are you still a consumer? Just coming in and drinking and taking? Are you a contributor? Now I'm part of a team, I'm serving? Or am I a distributor of the goodness of God to the lost and the hurting? Right? Again, where are we? I want to see every one of you be distributors. Amen? This isn't a multi-level marketing campaign, okay? Right? But I want every one of you to be a distributor. That's where we want to be. So you can ask yourself, where am I? Where am I right now? What would I really be? If God, if I stood before God right now, what would he call me? A consumer, a contributor, or a distributor? Right? That's a good ask. Preaching two times in a row. Good here. All right, this is good. All right. Think about 2 Corinthians 9, 10, and 11. Paul wrote this. This just runs through my mind as I think of this text. He, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increasing the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. See, God increases seed to the person who gives away. He doesn't increase seed and blessing to those that want to keep it for themselves. He says, I increase this. I'll give more seed to the people that grow it and give it. Do you follow it? That's the principle here. Give generously of what God has given you. I still say that you're born in America. You should be an extremely generous person. I don't care what your job is. I don't care how much you make. I don't care if you're on welfare. We should be generous. Why? Because you are on like the most prosperous planet on the earth. Right? We are born here. We should be generous people. Say ouch or amen, whichever one fits for you right now. Okay? Because yeah, we should be generous. He gives seed to those that sow it. He blesses those that are willing to give away. And that's financial, that's time, and that's talent. When you allow your talents to be used for God, he's going to give you a greater anointing. Isn't that good news? Man, a great economy that we're living in here. It's definitely not socialism. Okay, let's get back here. Just finishing up the story. Mark 6:45 says, immediately after this, after the meal is finished, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. Listen, after telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Jesus starts this miraculous event by pulling the disciples away, and he ends it by himself pulling away to get refreshed once again by the Spirit of God. The necessity of us to have this refreshment in his presence cannot be overstated. Again, being available to him first is so necessary. You know, as we conclude, you know, as I was saying, you know, I lived to be the person in the spotlight athletically, and I did have the days where I hit the home run, and I had the days where I won the tennis tournament. I had those days, but you know, but I always also had the days where I dropped the ball and struck out and lost, double faulted. You know, those things happen. But you gotta put yourself in position to lose something. You gotta be willing to take a risk to see God do great things. It's fear that keeps us from taking that risk. It's fear. Every disciple can be used mightily by God by following these three principles. Be available. God, recognize God blesses what you give to him, and generously give away what you have. Your talent, your time, and your treasure. That's where God has for us. I want to see you. I want to see you become a distributor in the kingdom of God. Amen? I want you to be a distributor. I want God to take you from that place of just giving an occasional contribution to being one who's used by the King to bless and resource other people with hope. Amen? If that's you and you desire that, why don't you just stand up right where you are? We just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If that's who you're saying, I want to be that person. I want to be a distributor. I want to stand. God, help me. I want to be that person. Motivate me, God, to move from being just a consumer and a contributor. I want to see God do mighty things. And I want you to know something. See, this isn't something you have to beg for. God's looking for people to pour his spirit upon. You don't have to beg. You just have to say, I'm going to be available. So right now, we come before you, Father. And God, right now, again, just in sincerity. If you're not sincere, he's not impressed. God, I want to make myself available to you. Father, I make myself available. I make myself available. God, I give you my time. I want to give you my talents. I give you my treasure, my money, God. I make myself available. Father, I want this life. I long for this life, God, to bring honor to your name. God, I want to be a distributor of your goodness to the people around me. It starts with this principle. God, don't let me go to bed tonight without contemplating how I'm going to make myself available. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand.